Lori Vallow just can't get a break, and what the hell is her attorney doing? Second, new Amber Heard Johnny Depp audio has DV written all over it. Third, no fun for you kids in California. Fourth, a Connecticut man shelters in place in a restaurant that's been closed. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and our nominees for the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking the time to watch our channel. If you have not already done so, we would ask that you hit that like button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content, and leave a comment below as we want to know what you think about what we've discussed today. First on the docket, Lori Vallow just can't get a break. As you know, Lori Vallow, she just can't get a break because nothing's gone right for her. First of all, she can't find her kids. Second of all, she gets married and her honeymoon is cut short via extradition back to Idaho. Her bond doesn't quite get reduced as low as she needs it to be. And now there's talk that the Idaho Attorney General is investigating her as a possible suspect, along with her new husband, husband number five, Chad Daybell, as it relates to the death of his wife. Fortunately, though, the only thing that has gone well for Lori Vallow is the fact that before she got married, Chad Daybell's wife passed away some 2 weeks before that. So I guess she has that going for her. But other than that, it's all been downhill from there. Her husband dies, her brother dies, her children are missing. This woman just can't get a break. And then her attorney was going to have a bond reduction hearing scheduled for today, but unfortunately it was continued now until April 22nd. Why, you may ask? Well, the chief judge of the Idaho Supreme Court has come down and said that basically the courts are going to have limited operation basically for the month of April, May. And this order is very similar to what a lot of courts are doing. I can tell you here in the state of Colorado, our Chief Justice of the Colorado Supreme Court just said basically no jury trials until the first week in May. And I had a matter set over my objection outside a speedy trial, really kind of irks me. The Constitution does not get paused even in a pandemic. It doesn't get paused during times of war. It doesn't get paused in emergencies just because it's convenient. But needless to say, that's the reality of the world that we are in today. Maybe next week, Lori Vallow will get her bond reduced and she can get out and she can start spending her time on her defense. Now, what in the hell is her attorney doing? All right. Lori Vallow's attorney has issued several subpoenas to be served. And subpoena duces tecum is what they're referred to as. Basically, it's a subpoena to produce documents. And what happens when an attorney issues a subpoena, it normally has to be to somebody that has subject jurisdiction as it relates to the court. So normally people in this particular case, it would be Idaho. And when someone either has to appear with that subpoena if they've been validly served, or if they have to show up and produce documents, they have to do that. Otherwise, they could be held in contempt. Now, what I don't understand is, and maybe Ms. Vallow's attorney has some secret game plan, but based upon these subpoenas, it becomes evidently clear what I've commented before is that he is a civil attorney and not a criminal attorney. He may do criminal cases, but that's sure not what he highlights as his experience on his website. So what he's done now is produced several, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 subpoena duces tecums that he has served, at least filed with the court, because you have to give notice to the other side, and usually do that by filing a notice with the court so that they know that something's going to be returnable. And the first subpoena that he issued was to the State of Idaho Office of the Attorney General. And he is asking for all records, reports, notes, charts, communications relating to the investigation of Chad Daybell, Lori Daybell, / conspiracy attempted murder. Okay. Well, guess what? That subpoena is more than likely going to be quashed because, well, the investigation is ongoing. And if she is charged, then they will get all that discovery in the course of the discovery process. Now, you would think that the attorney would be more concerned on representing the case as it relates to the children, since that's what is before the court, versus all this running around that he's doing, trying to get everything related to the death of Lori Vallow's brother, and now the investigation. He's not going to get that while there's a pending investigation. That is criminal defense 101. But as a civil attorney, her attorney may not generally know that those are the rules. He issued a very similar subpoena to the Fremont County Prosecutor's Office. This is the office that said, hey, we've looked into this investigation, but we want the Attorney General to take it from here. Requesting all the same types of information there. He's not going to get it. It's an ongoing investigation, unless and until there's something related to the missing children. In this particular case, that she's actually before the court, they may get it, but not a moment sooner. So he has also issued a subpoena to Southwest Airlines and their credit card program. And they are asking for that basically Chase Bank produce all the records related to Charles Vallow and or Miss Lori Daybell Vallow. And they want all the documents from January of 2016 through the present, including basically all the records. It goes on and on and on. I mean, credit reports, all these various things. Now, I don't have time to go through each and every line of these. However, if you go to scottreisch.com, scottreisch.com, we will have all of these subpoenas up as well. There's another subpoena then issued to U.S. Bancorp, and once again asking for all the records related to Charles Vallow as well as Lori Vallow as well. Finally, there was a subpoena issued to Google whereby he is requesting that Google submit the email accounts for Charles Vallow that Google may have in their records. Now, anytime you subpoena one of these online companies, you get a response. Maybe they produce it, maybe they won't. We'll see what takes place. Normally, they don't quash it, but they basically say that here, this is what we have. But since this is not directly related to the person, they may ask that it be sent to the court and request that it be reviewed in camera. And that would mean that the court would actually review the documents, see if there's anything related to the case at hand, because people do have a right to privacy. And you don't get everything just because you subpoena that. But I think these subpoenas look very similar to a fishing expedition or someone who's engaging in some sort of civil type discovery process. A lot different in the criminal court. Not sure what he's doing. And let me tell you, as a defense attorney, if you can obtain documents through your own client by signing a release or they request them themselves through a written request, you do it that way because when you subpoena the documents, guess who gets it? The district attorney gets a copy of it as well. So if you're not sure exactly what's there, you want to keep it to yourself because the defense wouldn't have to produce it. But when it's produced via subpoena, the other side automatically gets a copy of it. And you don't want to do that unless you're absolutely certain of what is there. I've said this before. Maybe this attorney of Ms. Vallow Obviously, he must know some information that we don't have, but to the curious outside observer and your lovable little defense attorney here, who's done this for some 25 years, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. We'll follow it. If you want to look at all the subpoenas, go to scottreich.com and you can look at all the documents that have been uploaded. Next on the docket, a little celebrity news. Now, Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, they've had a very tumultuous love-hate relationship. It's clear that they love to hate each other. And even though they were in fact married for a short amount of time, Johnny Depp is suing her, claiming $50 million in damages related to the defamation and case that he has brought regarding the libelous and slanderous statements that she has put out about him. Now, we have put up a call previously. There should be a link right below here where you can listen to that. They both sound like a hot mess. Well, guess what? There's more. There's recordings of another call where somehow, I don't know if he's cut his finger off or got his finger slammed in there, but here's a link to the video that we're going to put up. You'll take a listen to it. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Amber Heard could be getting close to having her own precarious legal situation. And we're not talking about being sued for $50 million. We're talking about the fact that she may have made untruthful statements as it related to obtaining a protection order against Johnny Depp. Specifically, and since this has turned into an all-out brawl, Johnny Depp is now claiming that Amber Heard may have faked her injuries at the hands of Johnny Depp to obtain a restraining order. Specifically, Depp's attorneys want to interview actor James Franco, and they've subpoenaed him for a deposition because he apparently was spotted with Heard on surveillance footage. And Franco saw Heard's face in the days and nights before and after the actress went to court and alleged bruises for the temporary restraining order back in May 27th of last year. And a judge has ruled that this suit can go forward against Amber Heard over Heard's penning an op-ed for the Washington Post, which she didn't name Depp in the article, but was about Depp's alleged domestic abuse allegations. Now, Heard, who apparently starred in Aquaman and maybe in Aquaman 2, things seem to be up in the air as it relates to that. These two individuals possibly deserve each other, but they are a hot mess. Bottom line, run. Both of you need to run. I'm surprised somebody hasn't wound up in jail just yet, but take a listen to this audio. It is dysfunctional through and through. Next on the docket, no fun for you kids in California. Now, we talked about the stay-at-home orders and executive orders, all right? And we did a little refresher course that it's the legislature that passes laws and says what you can and can't do. And these executive orders are really policy statements as it relates to how agencies within the executive branch should handle things. So, for example, here in Colorado, the governor has said that he will not enforce provisions of the various liquor codes so that restaurants can sell liquor or deliver it, which would normally be completely prohibited. He's doing that to help the restaurants. He's not making a new law. He's basically saying, as a policy, we're not going to enforce that. I, as governor, am saying we're not going to enforce that. These executive orders are recommendations. Unless the legislature has specifically said this is a law, there's no enforcement as it relates on a criminal side. It's a civil action. So, for example, if here in Colorado, the Department of Regulatory Agencies has said that realtors cannot show homes. If somebody shows a home, the Department of Regulatory Agencies the Realtors Board could hold an administrative action against that realtor. They could fine them. They could take their license. Unlikely and unaware of any circumstance where they could be criminally charged. Same thing as it relates to chiropractors. You can go to the doctor, but you can't go to the chiropractor. Well, it's arbitrary. It just depends on who the governor likes best that particular day. And I don't know about in your neighborhood, but when I drive home every day, there is much more and more traffic every day because people are going to have to make a living. And if they aren't able to make a living, things are going to get primitive real fast, all right? I've never seen anything like this in my 50 years of life. This is crazy. I've lived through market dips but never seen a situation where a secondary and third wave of layoffs is coming, and I expect a huge rise in criminal conduct because people are going to do what they have to do to take care of their families. Jumping back to California. Apparently, officials in California are so sick and tired of skaters violating stay-at-home orders, they have straight up dumped 37 tons of sand into a popular skate park so that they can stop this illegal skateboarding. That's right. Another gateway crime, ladies and gentlemen, just like driving with expired plates. First of all, you skateboard when there's a stay-at-home order, and the next thing you know, you could be robbing banks. Who knows where this madness will ever end? They have to put a stop to it. So even though the residents of California have been urged to self-isolate as much as possible since mid-March, government has done everything they can to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Apparently, skate parks and the people that go there just don't get it. Now, take a look at this. This is from my neighborhood. See this? There's a skate park a couple blocks away. I mean, there's a skate park a little few blocks away. And apparently, the mothers in the neighborhood are so upset that their children have been leaving the house with their parents and going to the skate park. And social shaming is not enough. So apparently, these individuals have complained so much that the city has decided to put trash dumpsters in the skate park so that people will not skate in the skate park. Now, here's another video. Look at this. A kid skating around the trash cans in the skate park. Why, you may ask, ladies and gentlemen? Because kids will be kids, and I have said this before. Stupid laws will be ignored. They always are. And finally, let's take a look at this video of this man out on the beach all by himself taking a nice run. But wait, this police officer, apparently having nothing better to do, decides to go and approach him. Run, Forrest, run! And it looks like he got away. Thank God. All right? I get it. Stay-at-home orders. It is what it is. Police, we're all going to die if we save one life. I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a constitutional thing. And when you start saying something's illegal, it becomes required under the Constitution. So I know some people disagree with me. We should all just do this to save everybody. Okay? As long as your bills are being paid, it's all great. But what about the people that have to make a living? We live with choices every day. We'll see what happens. Next on the docket, a Connecticut man tries to shelter in place in a restaurant that he doesn't own. And he's been arrested for it. Luis Angel Ortiz was found asleep in the Sol del Cuba Cafe in New Haven, Connecticut. And Mr. Ortiz was arrested for burglary and theft as he had been in the cafe for at least 3 days, hunkering down during the coronavirus pandemic. Over the course of several days, and police officers being able to verify this based upon the security footage, it appears that Mr. Ortiz helped himself over the course of the 3 days to the restaurant's food, liquor, and beer, while also removing beverages and property from the restaurant. Apparently, over the course of some of the 3 days that he was there, he's accused of drinking or stealing around 70 bottles of liquor. So with the burglary theft charges pending, as well as criminal mischief thrown in there as well for breaking things, Mr. Ortiz remains in custody awaiting arraignment. Quick little legal note. You can't break into other people's property unless maybe it was absolutely so life-threatening that you were going to starve. Say, for example, your car had broken down and you were on the side of the road and you broke into the old abandoned house that was sitting there when no one was there and you had to break in. You did that to survive. Perhaps you could claim a duress, but once the duress was over, you'd probably want to self-report it to yourself you'd want to self-report it to the police so that you don't get in any trouble. Mr. Ortiz appears to have just taken it upon himself to partake of the food and beverages at the establishment without any sort of duress defense available. So good luck, Mr. Ortiz. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and then we'll recap our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant of the week that you all get to choose. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day comes from Washington County, Oregon. There, a Beaverton man by the name of Genardo Segundo Garcia was arrested Wednesday for DUI, a felony in this particular case, as well as driving with a revoked license, which is also a felony in this particular case. Well, given the current situation, he was simply given a citation and released to a responsible party to go to his home. The same deputy that arrested Mr. Garcia earlier in that day, who had a BAC, a blood alcohol level of 0.200, was spotted later driving a different vehicle, but the officer knew Mr. Garcia and pulled him over. And he was yet again charged with a second DUI, with his BAC being 0.090. Now, Mr. Garcia is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. You would be surprised as to how many times something like this has taken place. I can think of at least three occasions where I have represented somebody who picked up multiple DUIs in the same day or within a 24-hour span. Obviously, we hope Mr. Garcia gets the help that he needs for an obvious drinking problem. I can also think of one particular case where I represented a doctor who was driving his Ferrari, and he got a speeding ticket. And the officer was rude to the client, and back and forth. There was a mutual exchange. Needless to say, when the doctor received his ticket, said, "Boy, I hope I never see you in the emergency room," took his ticket and drove off in a very expeditious manner, only to be pulled over by the police officer yet again. And after the third attempt, the client ultimately drove off much slower, but we all received a very good resolution in that particular case because everybody's emotions got the best of them and everybody should have let things go. So, quick recap. Mr. Garcia, two DUIs in the same night. Our dumb criminal contestant, number one. Next, we have Robert Kovner, who liked to put threats on Facebook because he did not like the fact that people were not wearing face masks. Not to telegraph who I think my favorite may be, but my personal favorite this week is Playboy Carti, who gets pulled over. They find guns and drugs in the car. His buddy takes kind of the rap for him. But in the meantime, he tells the police officer that he effed his daughter and that his wife is pretty. Let's not forget our little couple in South Carolina who got into a fight after a threesome apparently went bad and no happy ending second time around. Next, we have the employee at the Beauty Room Nail Salon in Ohio who advertised that she's willing to step out of quarantine to do nails for past customers and new ones. Needless to say, people were there to enforce that. And yes, also one of my favorites is the gentleman who beat up his cellmate because he was asked to do a double flush to air the situation out a little bit after a smelly visit to the community toilet. Let me know what you think about what we've talked about today. Do you think Lori Vallow just can't get a fair shake? Do you think her attorney knows what the hell he's doing? Are Amber Heard and Johnny Depp really that dysfunctional? Thank God they're no longer together anymore. Do you really think it's worth dumping 37 tons of gravel into skate parks? And please vote for our dumb criminal contestant winner for the week, and we'll let you know how those results come out on Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, exercise common sense, stay healthy. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.